morning, everyone, and welcome to the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. It is Monday, May the 12th, 2003. At this time, I'm going to open for the purpose of information meeting as an informational meeting, less a quorum. Robin, to you.
Okay, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you all should have your my recommendations in front of you. It looks like this. And what I'm going to do is just walk through my recommendations, and then when we have a quorum, we can go back and have votes on these things. The first, I'm going to just start with item number one, which is a statement of expectation. The Oregon State Fair and Exposition Center will develop and report its budget in two divisions, operations and debt service. That's just for ease of tracking their expenditures. I am recommending approval of two budget notes. Both of these budget notes are currently in their budget, and we have found them to be useful in terms of the reporting on what is going on and getting some local and state fair or fair buy-in on their programs. So I'll read them to you. The Oregon State Fair and Exposition Center is directed to continue collaborative efforts to increase the revenue generated by fair and exposition events. The fair should seek strategic partnerships with state and community leaders and businesses and should actively support the efforts and recommendations of the Community Partnership Task Force. The fair is directed to report to the Emergency Board at meetings closest to January 2004 and January 2005. On current status and any progress in improving revenues, attendance, and revenues from the annual state fair. The only change to this budget note from the previous one is that we moved the date back from November to January to give them time to collect the information from the annual state fair. The second budget note has to do with the Community Partnership Task Force. Legislative leadership will appoint a community partnership task force to continue the community collaboration and economic self-sufficiency efforts begun by the task force on the Oregon State Fair and Exposition Center during the 1999 legislative session. The task force will include representation as designated by legislative leadership from the legislature, including at least one member from each chamber and from city, county, county fair, the business community, and the Oregon State Fair Commission. The task force should meet semi-annually to review and approve recommendations from the Fair Advisory Commission, including progress towards the goals of the strategic plan, capital construction and rehabilitation issues, and initiatives that foster the economic goals for the fair. The task force will report to the appropriate interim committees annually on progress towards the goals of the strategic plan. Any emergency board request will also require approval of the task force and interim substantive committees. The third recommendation is that the committee approve the performance measures reported for the Oregon State Fair and Exposition Center. And then I'm going to move into a discussion of the budget adjustments. The first adjustment is approval of the policy option package that provides $1,087,126 in other funds and eight positions, 4.13 FTE for the pavilion startup, and approve policy option package 102 that provides $359,536 in other funds and one position, one FTE for exposition support. I'm requesting approval of LFO adjustment number one, which is a reduction in the Department of Administrative Services assessment that reduces $10,375 in other funds. Approving LFO adjustment number two that reduces the Department of Justice assessment by $5,629 in other funds. Requesting approval for LFO adjustment number four, which is vacant position elimination, that reduces 89,530 general fund and 12,209 other funds and one position and one FTE.
We do. At this time, I'm going to close the informational meeting and open a work session on Senate Bill 5520, Oregon State Fair and Exposition Center.
And, Mr. Chair, with your permission, I will finish my walkthrough of these items. I'm recommending approval of LFO adjustment number 5, which is the elimination of merit and COLA adjustments that reduces $23,844 general fund and $61,146 in other funds, and approval of LFO adjustment number 6, which is the elimination of inflation adjustment that reduces $11,953 general fund and $182,921 in other funds. And finally, I'm recommending approval of LFO adjustment number 8, debt service, that reduces $531,711 in lottery funds. I just basically read through my memo, so.
Senator Lewis. I was going to move it also. If you want a motion, I'll move it. Then you have something for discussion.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you refresh our memory on the reduction in debt service?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that reflects a couple of things. One is that the lottery bond sale was delayed. I believe it was originally scheduled for March, and has now been delayed till late May. So that reduces the amount of payment that's due. And then the other factor is that when the debt service was originally calculated, the interest rates were higher. And so this reflects the reduction in the interest rates.
Now, Robin, are we going to go to Katie, or are we going to have Lori come up and run through? Yeah.
Actually, Lori doesn't really have anything to do.
Oh, she just listed her.
I listed her in case she had any kind of objections, but we actually have been through this together, so she doesn't really have any concerns. What I'd like to do, if you wouldn't mind, is that I'll move through the things that take action.
Okay. Do we need to exercise Senator Duke's motion?
If you wouldn't mind,
All right. You'll just move on through.
Yeah.
Okay.
First of all, I would ask for a motion to approve the budget notes.
Budget notes. It's on Senate Bill
5520.
Right. Mr. Chair. I haven't read it yet, but also move adoption of the budget notes.
Okay. We have a motion, Senator Dukes, to accept the budget notes. Is there any further discussion?
Mm-hmm. Is it possible to include some language in here, since we're going to have city and county folks on here? I assume that's local city and county,
mm-hmm.
to have at least a brief discussion on their contribution to this whole thing?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, part of the reason that the city and county folks are included is because they already are making in-kind contributions, and this is an intent to keep them involved in that process. But if you would like, Katie can explain the kinds of...
Oh, I know what they're doing, Mr. Chair. My point is simply, compared to what the other counties are dumping into their county fairs, the local folks here are making a very minor contribution. So, and simply in-kind, that is staff timing, which is much better than what they used to do. But I don't need to get into the whole discussion. I remember the discussion. I just wanted to say that it's a conversation as to whether or not they ought to actually contribute more that I would like to see continue. It's been a fractured conversation that's been sort of ongoing for a number of years now, and I haven't gotten us too far yet, but I keep hoping.
Senator George, Senator Dukes, on that particular issue.
For the record.
For the record, my name is Katie Cannon. I'm the director of the Oregon State Fair. In doing some research on that whole issue about actually them providing us with actual money, Okay. I have a letter from the Assistant Attorney General that says basically one governmental entity cannot contribute money to another governmental entity if it's going to benefit people outside their geographic, you know, sphere of influence, as far as, for example, the city actually writing us a check. They're telling me that that is not appropriate.
Whatever you want to cut out of this budget is fine with me.
Sorry, I've sat here when they told us they wish we'd sell the land. I've sat here when they told us they have no interest in contributing.
Senator Dukes, I think to some extent the history here is unfortunate. What we have going on at this point in time, because I have attended these meetings, is a very strong collaborative effort that you can disparage in kind, but it is an essential component of maintaining the solvency of the fair.
And I agree with that.
There have been extensive efforts to pull together city initiatives with activities going on at the fair. There are collaborative efforts between the chamber and the Salem Visitors Association and the city and the fair in terms of mutually beneficial promotion and that kind of thing. And the whole intent of the budget note is to ensure that that collaboration continues. I was here when those comments were made. I don't think you have the same kind of atmosphere now.
That's what I'm told. But I know while they may not be able to write a check, they could build a building, they could build part of a building, they could provide security.
They are providing security. Yes.
Katie, they also, they waived a substantial amount of the system development charge.
Yes.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Yes, Senator George, they on the system development charges on the pavilion, they waived all but, I think, about $30,000 of those system development charges.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I served on an interim task force on the fair between my first and second terms, and I think I can second that there is a very cooperative interest from the city and the county to help make it work. There's a great deal, especially when you talk about police overtime, traffic control, those types of things. They're putting a lot of money on the table, but it is mostly in kind. There's no question that they look at the fair as something that they want to cooperate with and develop and help in its development. But I don't think we get too heavy-handed with. You know, it's kind of awkward to tell a couple independent local governments this is what either you must do, or if we downgrade the contributions they really think they're already making, it just poisons the climate a little more. And I think we've got a good climate now, and they'll. But it's got to be real mutual when they see things. Projects and things that they feel are in their mutual best interest, then I think we get their cooperation.
Particularly when the legislature has been guilty since we've been here of taking money that belongs to them and doing other things that seem to be offensive to our local. Representative Smith?
Thank you, Chair George. Is it okay if I move on?
We have a motion on the table.
Oh, I apologize. I missed that.
Yep.
Can someone share with me what the motion is again?
Any further discussion about approving the budget notes? I'll do it without exception. So moved.
Okay. Okay. You can entertain whatever.
Yes, Senator Representative Smith.
I don't want to ask my question.
was it about budget?
No, I'm okay. Chair George, thank you. I apologize for being late.
I'll second.
My second recommendation is that the subcommittee approve the performance measures that were reported for the state fair.
Any questions about performance measures? Okay. We have a motion to accept the performance measures. Any further discussion? If not, without objection. Okay.
Okay. My second third recommendation is that the subcommittee approve the LFO adjustments as I reported, with the understanding that I believe we need some discussion on the issue of the vacant position.
Yep. Katie, is that you?
I think it's my turn. Senator George, members of the committee, on Robin's recommendations eliminates one FTE, which is a trades maintenance worker. This is a semi-skilled worker. This person can do anything in electrical and plumbing that doesn't require a license. They can do mechanical. They operate equipment. They do carpentry. They do painting. And to say that, well, if we eliminate the position, the work's going away, it is not going away, because those people also help set up these activities that we have out at the fair. And right now we've increased that business by 25%. And at the time that when I initially started there, I decreased the staff by 15% as soon as I got there. So taking this position away, if you think that the work's going away and I'm not going to fill it with temporaries, I have no choice. I have to do that. The problem I have with filling it with temporaries is the fact, first of all, I can only put them on for 6 months. Finding somebody who has those kind of skills for a temporary position, first of all, they're probably looking for a permit position. And so every 6 months I have to train somebody new. And it is extremely difficult to find that skilled person that wants to, you know, work only 6 months out of the year and then go away and then come back next year at 6 months. So it causes some real problems eliminating that particular position. In addition, the second issue that comes about with that, when you take away the general fund, then I have cash flow problems on that second year. And I have a handout that I provided you. I've played with the cash flow a little bit in that I've taken the general fund that was evenly distributed and tried the last 6 months of each 12-month period. I've shoved that general fund back. For example, the second year I've taken January through June and shoved it back to December because it helps that cash flow issue. But even then, if you note, if you take the general fund away from me, then I have a critical cash flow problem the second year of the biennium, and that second year is the startup of the pavilion. And the first 2 years of a startup are very critical. I have tried with every effort to fund this particular startup with our other funds and not ask for additional funds. But if the general fund, with the governor's recommended, we were down $100,000, and now this would take it down another $125,000, it causes serious problems for me in the second year.
Thank you, Chair. When you're talking cash flow problems, when you take the 24-month period, at the end of the 24-month period, you're left with a net negative number?
Actually, the more critical time comes that January, February, March period. That's my lowest cash flow in each 12-month period.
All right, let's go back, though, really quick. When you go back to the first year, December through July, are those cash carryovers not sufficient to cover you when you hit into the second year, January, February, March?
That's what I'm saying. If you reduce the general fund, it comes out up front, basically. And I'm okay the first year because I haven't started the pavilion startup. I have a couple of positions that come on, but I can manage those. It makes it insufficient the second year. It makes, and I've tried, like I said, to jiggle the general fund around to kind of cover up those holes as best I can. But with that reduction, it still causes a problem.
Well, follow up. And that's the period of time that's leading into your peak August, September period. So all of a sudden, the time when you need the cash most, gearing up for August, September, is the time when you have it the least.
The May-June, the second year, with the biennium ending in June, I start getting Fairtime cash in May, June, and July. Actually, I'll start even a little bit before that. The last 2 or 3 months are not as critical as far as cash flow because I have that incoming cash. But I'm having to shove that general fund back to cover up that January, February, March hole.
Katie, we just lost quorum for a few minutes. I'll stand at ease till.
Okay. Thank you. I keep asking my questions.
Just hang on. They'll be right back.
Oh, okay.
Representative Smith.
Well, I guess the question I'm struggling with, Chair, and is I'm looking at this chart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you take year one of November through almost July of year one, carrying over, I guess, into year two, you see the cash balances are $250,000 on average higher than the expenditures. What I'm curious about is that not sufficient to carry over to cover year two of January through May, where the general fund is showing that it's a little bit less than the expenses. I don't know how that works in the budgeting process.
Chair George, Representative Smith, these are the monthly cash balances.
Okay.
Thank you. And actually, if you look at the back side of the sheet that you're looking at, you can see the cash flow from the standpoint if you don't take out the general fund. But these are cash balances. Where it gets me into trouble is the fact that if I don't have enough cash balance in 1 month and my payroll comes due the first of the month, I have to withhold payment reimbursement to DAS until I have enough money in the bank to pay the bill. And so that's why I plotted those against each other, the expenses and the cash flow.
Senator Morris.
Now may I ask my question?
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The assumptions for the pavilion startup could substantially impact your operation. First question is, are you quite confident you could start in October or possibly sooner? And what kind of, you know, bump in revenues or cash positive cash flows would accrue with a really sharp marketing that would kind of help bail you out of that critical period?
Senator George, or Chair George, Senator Morris, the startup, first of all, the building will actually have substantial completion by July of 2004. But with being it so close to fair, I'm not going to take the chance of trying to rent it out before then. And so we're looking at September, October startup. Generally, as a thumb rule, that building, once it's up on plane, will net out about $500,000 a year for us and bring about $10 to $13 million economic impact into the area. If I have another chart that gives you kind of a long-term forecast of for 05, 07, that...
Katie, hang on. Wait, can you get back to the mic?
Mr. Chair, is Senator Morse done with his question?
Katie was answering the question, okay. and then we'll get back to the second question.
And the question was that, about the cash balances. The first 2 years of a startup of a facility like this, especially when we're trying to fund it on our own other funds, it is risky. I mean, everything's got to click pretty well together to make it happen. If you can look in the second year of the handout that I just gave you, the third year is when actually the economist that worked with us on this, the consultant, and it really indicates that we're going to start making some money in the third year. But the first 2 years, it's going to be really, we're going to have to subsidize it to some extent with our own cash balances.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I will echo the fact that as the analyst for this department, I am extremely concerned about what their revenue and expenditure picture is going to look like during this coming biennium. we don't have resources to add to them to cushion the potential problem that they may have. The only thing that I can say is that, you know, should the situation become desperate, they can always come to the emergency board. There is no guarantee at this point that there would be any resources. But I think the situation is dicey enough that the subcommittee needs to be aware of the fact that they may hit a point where they don't have sufficient revenues to operate. So it may be a matter of a loan or some other, you know, need at the midpoint of the biennium.
Senator George and members of the committee, the other thing, too, that we have done, if it's a kind of a monthly situation, we are watching that so closely that we actually do some of our own accounting type practices to make sure that we know exactly what's going on from month to month. And we then project it out to make sure that we're not spending at an accelerated rate, or, you know, the temporary employees always concern me. So we're even putting some systems in place to better track that. I think my biggest concern is if we have something disastrous happen. For example, if we have the same situation that Lane County had, where they had E. coli outbreak during State Fair, or we have a shooting, or there's a multitude of things. Sometimes you lay awake at night and wonder why you do this with all the things that could go wrong. But as long as it's not disastrous, then I think that we can handle it, because we are watching it very closely and we're continuing to sell the facilities out there. In fact, Debbie's working on a 1,500-unit RV rally for 06. And so we are still working on, you know, filling those buildings up. And we will continue to do that. And we watch the cash flow and our expenses very carefully out there.
Senator Morris, have you completed your questions?
We had one additional
follow-up.
Okay. The cash balances that have been rather substantial at one time, are they in fact zero or negative now?
Chair George, Senator Morris, what you see on these cash balances, that is our reserve. Basically, we have no reserve.
The exception to that is that there is $550,000 of lottery funds that is held in reserve that is used to offset a bond covenant requirement that they maintain a level of funding in their reserve. So that balance will be in their account until 06.
Representative Smith, and then Representative Hansen.
Can we go to Rep. Hansen first, and then...
Oh, certainly. Okay, Hansen.
Well, I'm real concerned about this from a standpoint that the State Fair, just by the nature of it, is a real weather-dependent activity. So you can, you know, you can plot historical data and hopes, and if you get a lot of days of rain during the fair, or incredibly hot weather, or... You can have problems, and so operating where you're really dependent upon revenue coming in that's weather related, with very, very small reserves, could be real problematic. And I'm wondering if we couldn't develop a budget note that would talk about steps on how we could deal with the shortfall. Either what are the vehicles for tapping reserve to pay debt service if we've got problems? Could payments to ask be postponed? I wouldn't want to see it get to the situation where either you're delaying payments to vendors and of course, heaven forbid, employees, or dramatically having to curtail critical employees at an awkward time. So I think we, because of the possibility that we're going to have a cash flow problem, if we're going to withhold the general fund dollars, we better have a plan in place on how to deal with that in case of some worst case scenarios. And I'm leaning toward LFO for
that wisdom. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I know that DAS is has and will continue to work with the fair in terms of scheduling payments and doing exactly what you're talking about to ensure that there's an adequate balance there. But what we could do is make sure that the budget report reflects that discussion and that expectation that BAS will continue to work with them to ensure that they maintain an adequate, I don't know what the term is, but an ending balance that, you know. But your concern about any kind, they are at a close enough margin that any extraordinary problem is going to require some other kind of action.
And I guess my concern is, we're not going to let the state fair go bankrupt or go into receivership or anything like that. But the problem is if there's high publicity of state fair funding issues, that can hit us long term. I mean, if a couple articles come out that the state fair is struggling to survive, then it becomes that much harder to rent out the pavilion in the future, get long-term private support for the fair, these type of things. So the fact that we have a problem, if we know how to solve it, and it's just automatic that we trigger some things, then it doesn't become, you know, front page on the Capital Statesman that the fair's in a downward spiral. It's just a... And I think this whole next budget cycle is going to be a real difficult one for the emergency board to deal with, and I'd a lot rather see proactive ways to solve problems rather than just having the emergency board as the backup, because that, especially on something that you're selling, we've got to have that stability there.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is a little dicey because there aren't resources available as the circumstances currently exist. What we might want to do is to recommend that some emergency board reservation be made as part of the end of session bill. That is, as a... on the ad back list, on the emergency need list or holes list or something. I would hate to hold up the budget right now trying to find, you know, whatever resources might be necessary, because we don't know yet enough about what the balance is going to be.
Senator Morris.
I wonder if Katie could discuss the staffing issues. Looking back at previous history, 32 FTE, and then it was, the governor's recommended was 37, and LFO was 36, dropping that one position back. We have a net increase. So we have additional business activities. If we don't have, if we adopt the reduction of one position, how do you manage in that context and make sure that we are, in fact, maintaining the facility and marketing it at the same time?
Chair George, Senator Morris, let me explain one thing. I think going from 32 FTE to 37, there was an audit that was conducted that indicated that our superintendents that manage the livestock department and the floral department should be seasonal FTEs. Okay, so they're full-time positions, but like they're 2 months out of the year. And so that big jump, in all honesty, is largely due to that. So I wanted to know that. The reduction going to 0103 gives us adequate amount, number of people for the business that we have at that time. But with us continuing to grow the business, it's very difficult to continue to, you know, cut back on positions. I mean, you can look at my explanation that I gave you, the last on the second page. On the back of the first page, you can see the temporaries that I put on. And so cutting the position, like I said, is not, we're going to have the labor. When I start plugging in 1,500 RVs out there, I've got to have people that are experienced to do it. Does that answer your question?
If we adopt this one reduction, how would you manage that? I guess that was the question.
Chair George, Senator Morris, with that one position, then what it does is it cuts down on the temporaries that I have to employ. I don't want to have the temporaries and the position because I just doubled my expense. You know, my feeling is what I do is, like on a lot of things, if this is going to take care of, in all honesty, two temporaries, because one full-time probably equals two temporaries, then I'm going to look at cutting down my expense in that area. When we get, for example, sponsorships, we have a sponsor out there that's helping us put all the grounds, all the flowers and the garden together. Well, I'm backing out the labor that normally would have been spent on that. I'm backing that out of that PCA, that budget, so they can't spend it. So I will manage it, you know, with this position. I will look to reduce the temporary employees so I don't double the expense.
Follow up. Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you think it's reasonable to go to the city or the county and see if they would step up and provide an in-kind temporary? They put them on their payroll and assign them to you for times that you need them to help us?
Senator George, Senator Morris, the city and county probably don't have a fat budget either. And I know that, for example, on the code enforcement, they're cutting those people probably in half. I'm losing my neighborhood connection there. So I'm assuming that it's like every other city and county in the state. They don't have additional staff to do it either. Plus, I think that the letter that we have in our file from the assistant AG, it may not, you know, I don't, if they, Chris, if it's on their payroll, it might work. I don't know. I'd have to check with the AG on that. But to be quite honest, they don't have any more money to spend on additional things. And so the things that they can do, like the SDCs, and they provide us a lot of, I mean, tremendous amount of consulting as far as how we operate out there. Just, for example, in sewer and water, storm drain, how we handle the manure out there. I mean, if I had to go out and pay for that consultant, it would cost me a fortune to design a diverter system. They helped us design the diverter system out there. So I don't know that they can afford to put on additional people to help us out there. But they can help us with the existing services, and they are.
Representative Smith ahead of me or not?
No, go ahead.
Okay, Chair George. Katie, we've talked before about how weather can affect you, but we haven't talked about 140,000 Oregonians that aren't going to be working or aren't working yet, and the economy that's not coming back. Have you factored any of that in under your attendance, what you might expect?
Chair George, Senator Krieger, yes, in fact, you'll find us to be a little conservative on our projections for especially this coming year's fair for two reasons. One, the economics. Second of all, last year we didn't have any rain. And so I can usually count on 2 days of rain. And so we're probably pretty conservative in that area. The funny thing is that so far the activities that have been going on so far this year have been pretty solid, which don't ask me to explain it because I can't. But the ones that have occurred so far seem to be doing reasonably well. And I'm not going to sit here and project that we're going to do reasonably well, too, but it is a little puzzling to me.
That's another unknown is what it is.
Yep.
Katie, a couple of the economists that came in to talk with us, you know, as we began this process, indicated that because things were tough, the folks were going to probably spend money close to home, mm-hmm. which, getting back to kind of the traditional things we used to do might be a benefit to you. And that was one of the things that I thought was not only all of our tourism, but also the fact that things like the state fair might benefit from that. Because I know personally that's what the kind of things we're thinking about doing this year. Mm-hmm. We need to get Representative Smith and Dr. Senator.
Thank you, Chair George. I guess a quick question then a comment. Katie, I just want to make sure I'm understanding this correctly. The other funds, that represents the income generated through operations.
Chair George, Representative Smith, yes, that will be, you have expo events, which was rentals, the rental of the facilities, the parking, concessions, and then fair time revenues, which would be admissions, parking, carnival, concessions, entry fees.
Follow up.
I had an opportunity to serve on this committee last session, and you actually told us this was going to be happening. One of the things we talked about was that this was a 5 to 7 year plan to turn the state fair around, and so you're in year three, and so I guess your forecast is true to form, and based on what you're showing, that we're now at that lull in that period, and now with this we are going to come back up. I'm just trying to clarify for myself that that's what your belief is. We're at that low point, and now.
Senator George, Representative Smith, also, when I made that initial projection, the pavilion was not in the picture at that point. So I've also had to factor in the startup cost of the pavilion. So I still believe that we're on track for a 6 to 7 year plan to really be stable with programming and operations. Let me remind the committee that we've had an audit and we've had the task force both determine that the fair will never be self-supporting when it comes to debt service and major maintenance to the facilities. And in all honesty, we are paying debt service right now. And that's one reason why it's a little slim, is because of the debt service that we pay on the revenue bonds. But they will be paid off in 2006.
Actually, I remember that conversation from 2 years ago, and I do recall that. Have we looked at reducing our expenses through alternative labor sources? Let me give you an example. Are there not DOC members who can provide cleanup, et cetera, that would cost us less than $690 an hour?
Chair George, Representative Smith, we actually have used the county program for many years until they had to discontinue it because of budget cuts. Now I'm hearing that they may be coming back, and we're hoping so because they were very, very good. We use community service workers now that we go down and pick up. And some days you have two, and some days you have 15. So it's somewhat a hit and miss. Recently, they've been pretty good. We've also looked into the state DOC program, which is, I think, $400 a day for 10 workers. And I think you end up getting them a net of about 6 hours a day. But in all honesty, you need to have projects where you put the whole group together and have them schluck stalls or have them do something. You don't want them scattered all over the place because they're too hard to supervise. Mm-hmm.
How serious has the investigation been into that? I would believe that there would be an opportunity to find some significant savings by using the alternative forms of labor.
Chair George, Representative Smith, we look into that all the time. One thing with the other programs changing, like I said the other day, we heard that the county's maybe coming back with their program. That is a really important part of how we get work done out there. When you have 200 or 400 stalls that you have to schlock in a week, get them cleaned out and bedded again, we can't do it with our full-time staff. I don't care how many hours a day they work. So we use those kind of resources everywhere we can get a hold of them at.
Senator Dukes?
Oh, my comment is just, I think the fair is being well run now.
And there were past times when you definitely couldn't say that. And I think Ms. Cannon has done a great job and is really put it fiscally back in shape. And I think that this position is something I would very much like to do. Having said that, we still have days being cut off of schools in just about every school district in the state. We still don't have the prescription drugs back. We still have mentally ill people wandering off and never coming back because they don't have their drugs. We still don't have Oregon Project Independence, which keeps seniors in their homes and out of nursing homes. I would like very much to add this position to an add-back list, and the co-chairs have given us authority to have an add-back list, and if we get to the point where we can do that, then I think that this ought to be a priority. I am just not comfortable voting to put it in now until we get those other things worked out.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, let me weigh in here, if it's okay.
Certainly.
I took a look at this position according to the criteria we were given, which was, you know, what is its ranking in terms of health and safety and all of that, and then was it vacant subject to the hiring freeze? And the answer was that this position met that criteria. However, the position isn't actually vacant. The person who was filling the position retired, and Katie has kept this person on as a retired worker, and therefore was able to meet the workload requirements, even though the position was showing up on a vacancy list. I also had a long talk with her about what happens if the position is eliminated. My early assumption was, well, you eliminate the position, you save the money, you know, basically the work goes away. Unfortunately, the work doesn't go away. So I think really the question that's confronting this committee is whether or not it is appropriate to abolish this position. And what that does to the fair's ability to meet its requirements, and whether or not Katie can actually meet those requirements now with reduced funding, because if we abolish the position, we will reduce the funding, and with temporary workers. So it is one of those. No, it's not totally clear. It's not a position that for which isn't doing anything, sitting there providing funding for some other purpose. So my recommendation to eliminate that position is lukewarm at best. But given the direction that we have, especially the fact that it was subject to the hiring freeze, my hands were just a hair tied. So I think if I were making a recommendation on this, I would probably recommend not to do what I say, which is not to abolish the position at this point, given the circumstances that exist with the position.
Katie, let me walk through a scenario. The fact that we end up living down here over the last few years legislators, and as I'm looking at this page right here that you gave us, and down at the bottom it says eliminating the trades maintenance worker, I was struck by something that reminded me of home, and that was provides low-level maintenance to equipment such as forklifts, tractors, backhoes, mowers, dump trucks, water trucks, so on. That's kind of what I've done in the past. I cannot believe how much I'm spending now to have other people do it, because I'm not doing that kind of low-level day-to-day maintenance that keeps the forklifts and the trucks and everything moving. And so I worry a little bit when I see that relative to what your long-term costs could be. And just to give you guys an example, the other day I walked home to have a person tell me that this truck is heating up, only to pop the radiator cap and find out that there was no coolant in that thing, or a very limited amount. That could have been goodbye to that truck. And so, that's why I've had the heartburn over this, and that's why I went to the vice chair, what did we call him anyway? Vice co-chair, and asked the question, can we do this? Their recommendation was, and this morning Robin has confirmed it, was whatever we think is appropriate. Based upon that and my concern about the fact that these are major things that are occurring out there, and a large amount of dollars have been borrowed in order to make this thing work and to have it improved and to get a stability of events throughout the year, which eliminates that tremendous impact. In other words, more events you have, the better chance you get some better weather, attract more people. I tended towards recommending, in fact, I do recommend, that we add this back. But there is concern here, and that's why I think we need to have an open discussion about this specific issue. Senator Horton Morris.
Chairman, thank you. I share Senator Duke's concern, yeah. Senator Carter. We all share that concern about adequate funding for these other services. This is a little bit different in that it's a business that has revenues and it has expenditures, and it's sensitive to the quality of the facilities, the quality of the marketing, the quality of the service that Katie and her staff provide. If we don't adequately support this, as you say, this indebtedness, the whole program of making it an ongoing successful business can fall. Now, will it fall on the strength of one FTE? Probably not. But it's all the little things, and they've got a big task ahead of them to make this successful. And I personally would be inclined to support this position and give them the best chance. You know, that ending balance, that ending cash balance, could actually look a lot different. And that's a significant issue. So I would concur with you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Smith and Representative Bassett.
Chair George, I would concur with Senator Morris. I do have a few observations, though, because this is operating like a business. If you go back and look at 1999 to where we are today, revenues are extraordinarily down, almost $7 million.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the reason for that is there was a capital construction, $10 million capital construction lottery bond that shows up. $10 million in two separate biennia that inflates the other fund revenue for the biennia during which those funds are added. So
how much would be in 99 and how much in 2001?
There was $10 million in each of those biennia.
So revenues are actually increasing?
Yes.
Okay. And then that's okay. So there's $10 million in each one. So it'd actually be. So revenues have actually increased by $3 million, approximately.
A little high.
When you take 26.9 and you subtract out 10, that's 16.9, and we're now at 19.5. So $2.5 million.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the 19.5 or the 19, that includes both general and lottery funds. You're looking at the total.
I'm sorry, yeah. Total support.
Right.
With that, services and supplies, was part of that $10 million put into services and supplies in 99? How were we able to go from 17.8? Down to 6.2.
I'm not sure where we are.
Okay, I'm on page 2 and 2.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that you're looking at this spreadsheet.
And we were able to take services and supplies from $17,869,000 in 99. To our recommended budget of 6.2.
Yes, the capital construction must have shown up in that line.
Follow up here. How come the capital construction then in 2001 went to the capital outlay?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, again, this, if you remember, this is a download of data I haven't gone back and verified any of these numbers. So you might want to look at the budget book, Katie, and see what the budget book is showing.
His page, I think, is this page, and I'm not.
It
I know that
looks like something was miscategorized. Is what it looks like.
Yeah, it may very well have been.
Okay. Okay. So, Chair George, and Lori, help me if I need help here. Representative Smith, it appears that in 99-01, you had other funds, capital construction, of $11,367,000.
Right.
And then you had other funds limited, which that is, okay, that's in, that's the debt service knowledge, that's for the revenue bonds.
Okay. I guess I'm confused. So the $17,869,000, does that include the $10 million?
For the record, I'm Gloria Biley from the Department of Insurance Services Budget Management. Chair George, Representative Smith, yes. This is what's going on here is there's a difference in how those expenditures are recorded in the categories, like you just mentioned earlier. And this could be in part due to, as part of the transition to the Orbit system, we had to go in and load actual information for the previous biennium and plug it in there. It wasn't strictly an automated thing. So I think this is just a difference in reporting. There was other funds capital construction of about $11.4 million in 9901, and it showed up in services and supplies. When we go to 0103, we see the capital construction expenditures associated with that $10 million in capital outlay. It's in a different place. So that's what you're saying. That's exactly what's going on, $10 million in 0103.
Senator Morris?
I'm still confused. How can you spend it twice? If it's recorded as an expenditure in 1 year, how can it be recorded in
it's two separate bond issuances. Two separate.
$20 million?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're servicing debt on 20 million. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sure. That's a lot of money. We better get this.
That's Senator, I think I voted no, but I'm with it this time, right? Well, we do have a significant question here, and Senator Dukes and I were whispering here on the basis of, you know, we look at this and we do for the seat for this position. This is almost $90,000 coming out of general fund. So it's a tough one. Okay, we probably need to resolve this thing. And I'm going to leave it up to the committee as to what we're going to do. If somebody wants to propose a motion.
Some of us, Chairman.
What are you moving?
I'm moving that we accept number 5, approval policy option 102, as that provides 359,526 and number 5 is one position for expedition support.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if I could make a recommendation here. I think you have a couple of different motions that, well, maybe you've got three. One is to adopt the LFO recommendations on the budget adjustments. One is to adopt the LFO recommendations on the budget adjustments but not approve the elimination of the position. Mm-hmm. The other, I think I heard mentioned, was to adopt the LFO recommendations and add the position to an add-back list.
Let's go again, Mr. Chairman. I move that we approve policy option package 102 with the provisions that are stated here and make it inclusive of the one position that was up for discussion for exposition support. Did I leave out something?
Mr. Chair, the recommendations are items 4 through 11.
Four through 11 would include the recommendations as Robin stated, which would be their recommendations, and then whatever change that we do relative to the reduction.
I move the motion that is on the floor that is so recommended by the LFO that is inclusive of 4 through 11.
Okay.
That abolishes the position.
That abolishes the position.
But I want the position to
play.
I don't want to make a motion, but I would like to be able to vote on that piece separately.
Okay. Then,
should we deal with it as approval of the recommendations with a provision that we're going to do an add back? Or?
What I heard Senator Dukes recommend is that you do a motion to approve items 4 through 7 and 9 through 11.
Okay.
So
that's a good recommendation, though. I like that, Senator Dukes. 9 through 11. Senator Carter, you're the person with the motion. And
Senator Dukes wants to vote on that one alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. And so I move, Mr. Chairman, that under budget adjustments, number 4, 6.
No, it's, excuse me.
Give me the numbers, right?
I think the item that you're having trouble with is item 8.
Okay, that's the one we have in there. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we want 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, and 11.
Right.
So move that we accept LFO recommendations on those numbers.
Is there any discussion relative to approving 4 through 7 and 9 through 11 as budgeted?
Okay.
Comments, questions?
Just
Representative Hanson.
On if we take out approval of item 8, what does that do for that cash flow position in the second half of the biennium?
Chair George, Representative Hanson, as I have shown you in the cash flow, the second year of this biennium is going to be tough. I mean, I'm going to have to just see if we can do the best we can do, but I'm not going to sit here and promise you that, you know, we're not going to have a couple of months where I'm going to have to hold back, you know, reimbursement to DAS or something to make it work. And I'm going to have problems the first year of the next biennium.
Even if we don't reduce the $89,000 in general fund dollars for the one position?
If you leave the general fund money in there, it's almost, in my mind, almost two separate issues. The general fund, if you take the general fund away, you have the cash flow that I've given you with it. And actually, I've backed out all the general fund, which is the COLAs, the merits, the inflation, because first of all, to my understanding, those have not, the COLAs and the merits, that issue has not been negotiated yet, other than with the management. And your inflation is going to be there. So I can't take it out of the expense side. I'm just taking it out of the revenue side. And this is the cash flow that I've even, like I said, played around with the general fund, moving it around to try to fill up those holes.
Any further discussion? Okay, what we're going to do, I'm going to do that without objection, and that was, again, 4 through 7, 9 through 11 on budget adjustments. So moved. Now,
Chairman,
number 8.
I move that we accept LFO's directions or recommendations regarding number 8, which reduces $89,530 from general fund and but yet add one position. Is that right?
I'm not sure.
I move that we approve number 8.
Okay.
Vacant position elimination.
You want to,
Chairman? No, we'll eliminate the number 8 again.
Eliminate the position.
Totally. Erase.
You would like to add.
I move that we add the position that was formally recommended by LFO for reduction in number 8.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm answering Senator Duke's question. I'm recommending that you eliminate it. I'm recommending that you eliminate it. If you don't want to eliminate the position, you should recommend that you not accept my recommendation.
No, I'm lost. We're going to eliminate
it. Or do
eight.
Nothing.
No, if you do nothing, you eliminate the position and the money.
But we didn't vote to accept number eight.
Right. That was my thought. If you eliminate your recommendation, does it stay in the budget?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think you need to
affirmative statement.
I know that we disregard the recommendation that was given by LFO and that we keep the one position that has been requested by the fair to for funding for the next 0305 session.
Any discussion on Senator Carter's motion? Representative Smith.
Just clarification. Does that add then an additional $89,000 on top of the governor's balanced budget?
No.
By doing that, okay. I just want to be very clear for the record. I'm voting to support the one position and the funding that goes with it, not additional money on top of what may already be in the budget.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my recommendation is adjustments to the governor's recommended budget. So I am recommending a reduction to the general fund in the governor's recommended budget. So if you don't take my recommendation, you restore that cut.
Back to the governor's
budget. So then why wouldn't it, I just want to be clear on this, Chair.
Yeah,
so then
good.
Why is taking no action not funding the position? Because it's in the governor's budget, then we pass the governor's budget.
Mr. Chair, you have other adjustments to the governor's budget.
Okay.
I need specific direction from the committee as to whether or not you accept or not accept my recommendation.
Motion still stands.
Motion still stands. Any further discussion on Senator Carter's motion? I'm going to do it without objection. Do we want? Do we need to take a vote? Oh, no.
I might be quiet over here, but my objections are still there. I wish I didn't have to have them. If this were some other kind of money, I wouldn't be here.
Senator Duke's comment is, no, you won't. Let's go for a vote. We'll call the roll.
Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Senator Duke?
No.
Senator Carter?
Aye.
Senator Morris?
Aye.
Chair George?
Aye. Okay. That's just, that can be passed.
Okay. Now the real matter of business.
Mm-hmm.
I will take your recommendations and adjust the numbers so you can make the motion now to move the budget as amended.
So
the motion would be to approve the agency budget of 60 positions at 37.18 FTE, and the adjustments to the funds as directed by the subcommittee.
We have a motion?
So moved.
The motion is so we approve the agency budget with 60 positions, and that's 37.18 FTE, as amended adjustments will be made reflecting the last vote.
That's correct.
Okay. Do you want to vote on this? Yes. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Senator Duke?
No.
Senator Carter?
Aye.
Senator Moore?
Aye.
Item number 12 is
motion is to amend Senate Bill 5520 with the adjustments made by the subcommittee.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman.
All right. item number 13, the motion amends 5520 to reflect the actions by the subcommittee. Clerk call roll. Oh, excuse me. Is there any further discussion on that? Okay, clerk will call the roll.
Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Senator Duke?
No.
Senator Carter?
Aye.
Senator Morris?
Aye.
Chair George?
Aye.
And the final motion.
Motion.
Which is to move 5520 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
So Senator Carter has moved item number 14, which moves 5520 to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass. Is there any further discussion? Okay, clerk will call the roll.
Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Senator Dukes?
No.
Senator Carter?
Aye.
Senator Morris?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye. Item number 14, motion to move Senate Bill 5520 with a four ways means with a due pass is passed.
And my final item of business, if I need someone to volunteer to carry.
To carry. This. She's good.
Okay. Great.
Representative Smith?
Question, Chair George. Would it be possible to make the request to. Well, actually, let me ask Robin first this. Mm-hmm. Under funding sources, where we have other funds, is it possible to have that broken out to when we have borrowed money, we could put bond proceeds or some type of other categorization?
Actually, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I believe that if you go to your budget book, you will find the detail.
Is it possible to, let me read, in the expenditure summary, to have it broken out to where it would say borrowed money? So that way, when we're looking through the summary page, it provides a clearer picture to the committee and doesn't hide data. And I don't think it's intentional hiding. I just think.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that information is available in the detail that you have in your budget book.
Lori?
Chair George Ripson Smith. And if you were to go strictly to look at how the expenditure showed in the budget, you would not see an expenditure fund type that said other funds limited from bond proceeds or from CFP proceeds. But you would be able to see when we sell the bonds, we know what kind of expenditures those are going to pay for. So you'd be able to see some kind of capital construction expenditures to link directly to the bonds. And the agency can also provide you the information in detail. But it's not going to be captured in an expenditure line in the budget report that says very clearly that this expenditure was sourced by,
but the detail in the agency budget book says clearly, I'm on page 11 of 13 in the budget book, back in the expenditure detail. It says other funds capital construction, both on the services and supply line and also under the capital outlay.
I know, but follow up. When a company prints out a profit and loss statement, there's also supporting documentation that goes and gets the breakdown, and I understand that's in there. But the P&L doesn't just say revenue and give a blank number. It breaks it out and says by sales, by this, by that. And I don't understand in our summary page where we're able to see expenditure categories by personnel, services and supply, capital outlay. While up above in funding sources, it doesn't show what portion is borrowed money versus what is general fund versus what's lottery versus what's revenue. It doesn't give a complete picture or an accurate picture.
If I may, Senator George, I think you're looking at that summary document that Robin provided, which I believe is a relatively new display. Now, that information is captured in the detail budget document at the revenue level, and so maybe as that report gets more finesse, that might be something that could be incorporated. I don't know where that report's going to go in terms of development, but the information is definitely available under the revenue side. I mean, there's a line that says lottery bond proceeds, so you can see those dollars. I just don't think it's broken out on that summary report. My belief is the summary was trying to compress information as much as possible so that we can get away from that detail. But the information is available definitely on the revenue side and kind of through some understanding on the expenditure side. It's just a matter of how we pull those things together. It's there. It's just probably not in the way you're anticipating seeing on that particular worksheet.
My request, Chair, and whether we can do it or not, is I think we should be able to show under funding sources in the expenditure summary page that any borrowed money is clearly identified to the committee. So as we're looking at funding sources, we know what is current cash versus what is borrowed money. Any business summary or not. Thank you.
Hang on one second. Representative Smith, can I get you to get together with Lori and prepare a report for us on that, or is it worth doing? Or is that just an idea that we look at in the future?
My recommendation would be to continue to identify the things that you want in this summary report. This summary report was built from the meeting that we had with folks from BAM, and so I would suggest that you continue, and it's a work in progress. You continue to identify the changes that you would like to see, and then we'll have a discussion with BAM about what can and should be done.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm still concerned in terms of the cash flow issues. Now, can I assume that that'll be included in the budget report, a discussion of
yes.
of that, with, which might lay out some potential remedies if we get into trouble?
We're not in a quorum.
Based upon what was discussed earlier, though.
Based on what was discussed earlier, I will look into what more formal kind of action I could recommend to the committee. Because we're going to have to take some committee-wide action, I think, to deal with the expectations in here anyway. So I will add that as something to look into in terms of like an add-back or a reserve or something.
Based on where we are, are we back here tomorrow?
No, we are done. We are. That's you have a day off.
You have a day off. Which means go forth and do good work. All right.
It will be Labor Day.
It will be.
I didn't know you guys were going to be this efficient.
Yes.
So.
See, that was just something we'd be longer based on 28.
Yeah, no kidding.
We will be adjourned.